Today's date is Friday, March 22nd, 2013. It is 1 p.m. I'm here in Oxnard, California. Thank you for taking part in this very important research. My name is Jessica Gonzalez. I am a Channel Islands student. As a class project, me and my classmates are collecting the oral histories of those in Ventura County who are affected by the current economic recession. By signing the consent form that I have provided with you earlier, you have agreed to participate in this research, and/or you have agreed the audio recording of this interview to be archived at the CI Bloom Library. I would like to assure you that whenever you feel uncomfortable with the interview, you can take a break or you can decide to withdraw your participation in this interview.
Okay.
Thank you. Questions. Tell me about yourself. Where and when were you born? When did you move to Ventura County, if relevant? What do you do? What were some of your previous occupations? What was your childhood dream? Starting off, where and when were you born?
I was born here in Ventura County in the city of Santa Paula in March of 1961. So that makes me 52 years old. I've always been a Ventura County resident. So when it says, when did you move to Ventura County? Mm-hmm. I've always lived here my whole life. Except for traveling out of the country here and there. But I've always resided here in Ventura County.
Okay.
Right now, what do? I'm unemployed, unfortunately. And the types of jobs that I have held in the past were primarily office clerical work. I think that's my forte. I did study in school at Oxnard College and Ventura College. And I studied child development extensively. I have a certificate because at that time I wanted to become a preschool teacher. And that was years ago. That was like in the 90s. Since then I never did pursue that. And I went into the secretarial pool, so to speak, and have always done administrative support positions within here in the county, the city of Oxnard and Ventura and Santa Paula and that's it.
Okay. What was your childhood dream? Being a preschool teacher?
When I was a child, I wanted to travel the world. I wasn't really thinking about getting married, having a family, settling down. I wanted to go out and see the world. I wanted to be the big career woman. My older sister had gotten married early in life and started her family, and I didn't want to follow in her footsteps. I wanted to be different, mm-hmm. and I wanted to be that career woman after I traveled the world, and mm-hmm. I wanted to work for a big corporation or something like that.
Right. Travel the world and then be the career woman.
Yes, yes. And then later on in life, get married and have a family.
Cool. Should we move on to number two?
Some of that actually did happen.
Yeah.
I did travel the world for a short time. I did the career move. Got married. I don't have any children, but I'm settled down now. And I haven't worked in 2 years, but I've had a couple of very short time positions within the last year. One of them was a preschool teacher, which sadly I could no longer fill that position because I'm so much older now and just couldn't keep up with the little ones. I mean, kudos to the ladies who have that position, and I did notice they were all much younger than I was. Mm-hmm. They were like in their 20s and 30s. So they have that energy that I can't put out anymore, sadly.
So, tell me about your family. How many, how old are they, and where are they?
I come from a family of five. My two parents are still alive, thank God for that. And I have two siblings. My brother is 8 years my senior, and my sister is 7 years my senior, and they both reside here in Ventura County, so we're close. We're able to visit one another, which right now is very crucial to me in this time of hardship. I know that a strong family support circle is very, very important to me, and some days I feel that that's all I have. So, I'm very thankful that I have it.
Yeah.
I have my brother's family. He has two children. And my sister's family, she has three children. So, even though I don't have any children, I was able to be instrumental in raising them as well. Helping.
Yeah.
Did you want me to be more specific as to ages and stuff?
Let's see. Where are they? They're in Fillmore. So I'll just write that. Okay. Okay, you weren't an immigrant, so cross that one out. When did your hardship begin? And describe your hardship.
Okay. I felt the strong need to resign from the position I had here in Oxnard in 2011. Due to a lot of movement in management, lots of early retirement. It was almost like a mass exodus. For some reason, a lot of people took advantage of the early retirement incentive, and they fled in droves, and they were top management people in the city government, city public works, and lots of high-paying positions. So after they left, there was a scramble of who was going to take their positions, and a lot of the under-management people were then given those positions, and a lot of them didn't even know what to do with them. Therefore, the people who worked under them, the support services, myself included, were being transferred around to different departments too, even though we didn't want to. I put in a request not to be transferred to a specific department, but they did it anyway. And there was what I call some bullying going on in my department. I reported it, and it really wasn't well, I called it favoritism as well as being kind of shunned is the only word I can think of. So I was being treated, and I felt like I was being left out of the loop.
Okay.
So I didn't know what was going on. Anyway, I left in June of 2011, and I didn't actually feel the hardship until about a year later. Okay. Because I was able to pull out my retirement money and pay off bills with that and continue living in the manner that I was used to. And it wasn't until last year, 2012, that I started to feel the crunch. And that's when I thought about going back to work. Well, I had been looking since fall of 2011, but I didn't feel that it was crucial until 2012. Bills started piling up, and that's when I just... We were really tightening the belt, like everyone else in the country.
Yeah.
But it really hit home this year, 2013, because my husband is the only one working in the household. And we were just notified they're going to cut his hours, furlough. He works here at the Naval Base in Port Hueneme, California. So that was kind of hard. It was shocking. It was a little hard to accept because I'm still desperately looking for work. So now it's a really big hardship for us.
What was the most surprising aspect of your experience? What was the most painful regarding the hardships?
I guess I would say that the last thing that happened, which was yesterday, the most surprising, like I said, it was very shocking when my husband came home and told me that they were going to cut his hours in half, which was not what I was thinking. I had been reading newspapers. I was reading articles online. I was keeping up with CNN as to what was going to happen with Congress and all of these budget cuts. And I had been hearing that they were going to have one day furlough per week.
What is furlough?
That is when the government makes you take a day off, but you don't get paid for it. That's called furlough.
Can you spell that for me?
It's F-U-R-L-O-U-G-H.
Okay. And it's called work furlough?
Work furlough.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I've heard of that before, but I've never really knew what that was.
You know, it's something you don't use in your everyday vocabulary until this year. Now it's on everyone's lips.
So it's basically a day the government...
Without pay.
Day without pay.
And then he came home yesterday and told me that it was going to be more than that, which I had not budgeted for us. And I thought, that's it. We can't even stay where we're renting now because his monthly net pay is going to be half of our monthly rent, let alone all of our expenses, utilities, food, fuel to get to and from work, food, and other bills that we have that are not utilities, like the phone and the internet, which I need to find work.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in a really big bind now, and we have to think about what our next steps are.
How has your life changed because of this hardship? Ask follow-up questions related to the suggested topics such as health, crime, housing, and food insecurity. So how has your life changed because of these hardships?
Well, I don't feel secure as far as financial security. That just went in the trash. I don't even know where we're going to be next month at this point. I'm in the process of looking online for cheaper housing, see what we can get with his salary. And mind you, during all of this, I'm continuing to look for work. I'm desperate to find that work, and I haven't given up hope. I keep telling my husband, something's going to come up. I'm going to, you know, be offered a position. We just have to keep hoping. But what was the other question?
What about health?
Health.
You guys have any in medical insurance that's from the county that you don't have to pay much?
Yes, the federal assistance program for medical coverage is ACE, A-C-E,
mm-hmm.
And it's for adults. Well, they have for the whole family, but the one we have is for adults.
Mm-hmm.
And we pay one flat fee for the entire year, and it's local. It's here in Oxnard. You know, I was thinking the co-payments were doable. They're $10.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're counting every single penny. It's to the point where we have to even say no to going to see a doctor. And this is what other Americans have done in the past. They don't have the money to see a doctor. They don't have the medical insurance to help them. So they don't get medical help. And then their physical well-being deteriorates. And there are annual tests that I need to get done. There are preventative measures that we need to take. And we can't do that right now. Mm-hmm. Everything has to be put on the back burner until we find out what kind of monies we're going to be getting. So that's important. The housing, the health care. We've applied for help with our food.
Food.
Get a little emotional here because my family, I was born into a family, a middle class family. Both parents, and this is kind of going back to the beginning.
Family medical.
Yeah, first question. But we were a rather small family of just three children. Both parents worked. And we never went without.
Yeah.
There was, you know, we always had a roof over our heads, a bed to sleep in, clothes for school, food. We never went without. And it was simple, a simple life, but it wasn't real extravagant because my dad's a very frugal man.
Mm-hmm.
So he taught us that. But, and to really appreciate what we did have.
Oh, yeah.
Because there were other children who didn't even have that. So, you know, I feel that I had a very, very good childhood. My family always provided for me. And this is the first time in my life that I have been put into a category that is labeled low income, borderline poverty. Now they're using words like homelessness prevention and things like that, that I just never thought I fit into that category.
Right.
And so here it is. And again, that falls into the shocking part, like, wow, this is me.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I had to take a drink.
Yeah, no worries.
My punch. Getting a little dry.
Yeah, we've been talking. It's okay. So you applied for...
I applied for the food stamps.
Food stamps. And the little card that comes in and you swipe it. The EBT, I think.
Yes. I wasn't even familiar with those programs. And I also applied for assistance with the utility bills. I'm trying to look for rental assistance. There are programs like HUD.
I've heard of housing.
And there are Section 8 that also helps for renters. So I'm in the process now of filling out all these applications. I haven't heard from any of those programs as to whether we are eligible or not. Mm-hmm. But
you'll hear back from them.
Yeah, we're just in waiting shortly to hear.
But nothing about crime. You guys haven't in the bad neighborhoods.
No, that's what I'm trying to avoid because I've been online and I've been looking for less expensive rent, low-income housing within the county of Ventura. And some of those neighborhoods look pretty shady.
Yeah, that's and, where it is.
And anywhere you are thinking of moving, you can go to the police station and get a crime report for that neighborhood. I think they go back like maybe 1 or 2 or 3 months at the most and let you know what crime has been happening or what's been reported.
I never knew that.
Yeah, so you can kind of, it gives you an idea of what kind of neighborhood you're moving into before you actually move in there.
That's pretty interesting. Never knew that. So, how did you cope with the hardship? Who helped you out? And what was helpful?
Anything was helpful at this point. The way that I coped was by praying. I have a very strong Christian faith. And I believe in divine providence. So I know that God will provide us, but I also know the fact that God helps those who help themselves. So you can't just sit and wait for something to fall on your doorstep. You have to get up and look and work for it. My family, like I said before, has been very, very generous to me during these last couple years and have helped us with provisions like food and household things that we need, even paper towels and toilet paper, things like that. On occasion, they've given us monetary gifts that have helped us pay for bills and stuff like that. And they've treated us to like taking us out to dinner. I'm going to get emotional again.
Yeah, let it out. It's okay.
The other day I was celebrated my birthday, and my brother provided a meal for me one day, and we all sat down like, you know, family around the table, and that was cool, like old times. And a big, you know, cake and the whole shebang. And then the following day, I continued to celebration with my sister and her husband. And they took us out to a restaurant. And I honestly felt like I was queen for a day. You know, I felt like I was, or I should say weekend. I felt like I hadn't done that kind of celebrating in quite a while. And I felt like I was on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I felt like. And it was very pleasing.
Being pampered, something like that.
And then the next couple days, my parents took us out. And it was just for pizza at a local pizza parlor. But again, I felt like it was steak and lobster. I mean, it was just a very good feeling because my husband and I have tightened our belts so tight that we don't even leave our home. We just stay home to avoid spending money that we don't have anyway. So It was really cool to feel that.
Did you try to receive any type of government assistance? Why or why not? Includes food stamps, cash assistance, and Medi-Cal. We already went through that, so yeah.
Yeah. It was a little demoralizing for my husband and I when we tried to apply for things like Medi-Cal and assistance in the past, because we made, as far as our income, we made just enough money that went over that poverty line or that low income limit line. Mm-hmm. So we didn't qualify.
Okay. For Medi-Cal?
For Medi-Cal, for any kind of assistance, government assistance. But now, like I said, I'm applying for everything I possibly can, and I'm just waiting to hear back from them.
Mm-hmm. So that was when he was working more hours and you guys had more income.
When I was working too.
Okay. So that's when.
But it was didn't. Yeah, it was even before I got married, I tried to apply for Medi-Cal when I was single and I had a part-time job with the school district, the elementary school district. They didn't provide benefits, so I tried and I made something like $100 more than the limit. So therefore they said you don't qualify.
It's that strict?
Oh yeah.
Wow. Whom or what did you blame for your hardship? Such as the economy, the society, the government, your family, or yourself?
Well, that's
You want to take a potty break?
I'll just kind of clear my head a second. I do blame myself because I willingly left that position because of stress and mental anxiety, which I look back on now and think, why didn't you just report it? I go on a stress leave and get some sort of compensation for it, or grow some really thick skin and deal with it. Look the other way when you saw things that you felt were not ethical and below my working standards or whatever. Right. I should just, learn to accept the fact that a lot of people are not like me, honest and strong work ethic, and just deal with it. Mm-hmm. You know, just go and put in your hours, do your job, and go home.
And just go home.
Put blinders on and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Because it was a good paint job. It was working for a municipality, city of Oxnard, with great benefits. And I wake up every day blaming myself for the stress that I've put on my husband as being the sole provider. And it's tough. And I do know that everybody else in this county is having the same problem, in this country is having the same problems, and those with young children. And so we just have to count our blessings and hope for a better tomorrow.
Yeah. But you don't blame the society, the government, your family, Nobody else?
No, I would, no, my family have been nothing but a great
support
under us the whole time. They have been lifting us up so that we don't fall under that poverty line.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't stand up on my soapbox and point my finger to the government and say it's all their fault. Because we are the constituents. We voted these people in to the government and said, we're going to trust you to do the right thing. And because of their promises and all that. So it's just not a... I'm in the process of asking the government to help me right mm-hmm. now. So I don't feel like I'm in any position to blame them.
Exactly. Okay. Have your views on society, America, or life changed because of your hardship?
I think anything is possible in this great nation of ours. You can go online and put up a blog and sell something, your handiwork, your arts and crafts, anything that you... If you're artistic or have any kind of form of talent, you can put it online and people will buy it. And then, lo and behold, you become an entrepreneur. And anybody can do that. I'm even thinking of doing it myself to get out of a hole. But there are so many benefits in this country. And there's so many opportunities for the young children of America to grow up and change the society and mold it to what they want it to be. I can't throw my hands up in the air and say, I give up, because there's always hope for a better tomorrow in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And this too shall pass. There's always been, in the history of America, the ups and downs, you know, I've always told people, I compare life to a heart monitor. Mm-hmm. When you look at it, it goes up and down. There are peaks and valleys. And as long as you see that and hear that beep going up and down, up and down, you're alive. And when you see the flat line, it's all over. And our economy is like that, too. Up and down, up and down. And there has to be the down, the valleys, you know, in order to climb back up again. There's always been that in our history, if you look back. And it's usually after a war that the economy then has a great peak. There are more jobs, therefore there is more money to be spent, therefore there's more spending. The consumers make the economy what they are, what it is today. And so right now people are tight. They're closing, they're zipping their purses closed, and they're not wanting to spend because they can't afford it. So the economy has gone down. And as soon as there are more jobs available, and I see that on the horizon, and probably as soon as the war, as soon as we get all the troops back and they come and there's more jobs available, you'll see a turnaround, because history repeats itself.
Yeah, it does. Okay. Down to our last two questions. Reflection questions. Why did you decide to do this interview for me? What do you want the government or others to know about you and your experience? What life lessons have you learned from your experience? Where did you draw the strength to endure and preserve through your hardships. Okay. So that was a super long question, but there's like four different questions in between there. We're on number 10.
This has been a very good interview, even though I get kind of emotional here and there. It's cleansing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, tears are good. They wash away things.
Yeah.
Bad things. The number one reason why I'm doing it is because you asked me to.
Yay.
And I want to help you.
Yeah.
Not only with your assignment, but I want to help you understand a different point of view on what's going on. There's like 30 years in between us.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot has happened in my life in 30 years. 30 years from now, somebody may be asking you these questions. And you can reflect back on this interview and say, oh, I remember when. So I'm thinking that not only are you doing this for an A in your class, which I hope you get.
I hope
you get an A. Because this is a life lesson. It's not just textbook lesson.
Yeah.
This is somebody's life at stake here. And an American life in American society.
The dream.
And the thing is that our society just it doesn't go chugging along. Remember I told you about the flat line?
Mm-hmm.
Some could almost say that equates to a different type of society. We live in a democracy where there's freedom of choice. And with those freedoms and with those choices, some people make the wrong choice. And then you find yourself in a valley. Or you make the right choice in life and you find yourself on top of the world. But there's some people that live in this world that don't have any choices. And they're the flatliners. Like, for instance, people who live in communist states where they don't have the freedom of choice like we do. And I call them the flatliners. So yay for America for having those choices. And the reason why I feel like this is a good thing to do today is to make you understand somebody else's point of view on the situation, on this recession that we're enduring. So you have it's multifaceted. You can sit here and ask these identical questions to a student, a co-student of yours in class in their 20s. You can go down the street and ask somebody else who's in their 30s. And then you can ask someone else in their 40s. Or say your grandparents who are in their 80s. And you're going to get different stories. You're going to get a multifaceted, like a diamond, has all those facets that they cut into it, which makes it sparkle. If you are only looking at one side, it's flat like a piece of glass. That was one of the reasons why I did it. The other reason is, this is the first time I've actually sat down with somebody and talked to them about this situation, this recession. Everybody's afraid to talk about it.
Of course they are.
I mean, nobody wants to talk about the writing on the wall.
They're denying.
They all read it, but they don't want to discuss it. And that's probably the reason that there's so many disagreements in our Congress today. It's a life lesson that I've learned as far as money, financial net is what we don't have. We're in this predicament because we didn't save. I hear experts on TV say, when you get your first paycheck, when you get your first paycheck on your first job, whether you're in your 20s, whether you're a teenager, start thinking about retirement. It's hard for kids that age to think about retirement. Even in their 30s, they don't think about retirement. That's so far away. I'm in my 50s now, and I don't have that net. I don't have that nest egg, so to speak, that IRA. That's not in my vocabulary because I didn't do anything about it when I should have. And I know it's never too late because I could start with my next paycheck. The next job that comes around the corner, I could say, okay, I'm going to put away a certain amount of dollars for my retirement every paycheck. Mm-hmm. And start from there. It's late for me, but it's not too late for you.
Exactly.
You could start now.
That's a life lesson you learned from
definitely. Saving. And even if you're thinking, oh my gosh, I'm not going to retire for another 40 years.
Well,
50 years for you.
Saving now and you'll have a bunch.
You can use that for emergencies. What if your car breaks down? And it's going to cost you $600 to repair. That's okay. I have that in the bank. What if it's a medical emergency? That's okay. I have that in the bank. These are the things that I can't... We've got two vehicles in our garage that are on the verge of falling apart, and we need to take good care of them because if anything happens, we're up the creek because we can't pay for those repairs on the car right now. Mm-mm. That's another thing we can't pay for. So save. That's the important thing while you're young. And my strength, once again, is my faith. My faith and my family to endure and to persevere through this hardship. I will not give up. Although there are some days that I just want to close my windows and close my curtains and go crawl in bed and feel sorry for myself. I might let myself do that for a day or two and then I snap out of it. Or my husband helps me. He has been my rock.
Mm-hmm.
He has a very positive attitude. Even though he gets very, very frustrated, he doesn't want me to see that. So he holds it in. God bless him.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it comes out and we have some nasty arguments, but then we regroup and we hold each other tight and we say, we're in this together. That's his little favorite saying. We'll get through this together. And so we have to remind each other now on a daily basis, every day. We have to reaffirm our love for each other on a daily basis because that's what makes us strong.
Mm-hmm.
And we will get through this. And my family has said to me time and time again during the last year, we won't let anything happen to you. You're not going to live on the streets.
Family will never do that. A true family won't.
Yeah. Apologize.
Let it out.
It's part of the cleansing I was mm-hmm. telling you about.
Yeah. And number 11, are you hopeful for the future?
Yes.
Yes. That's what I want to hear.
Amen.
Yes. Hopeful.
I apply for jobs online. If not daily, I do it every other day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, whatever comes up. I'm not being particular about it right now. I can't be picky. I have to first think about our situation.
Mm-hmm.
and kind of alleviate this hardship. A second paycheck in our home right now would be really, really beneficial.
Of course.
And it will not only alleviate our expenses, and then we'd be able to fix the cars, but I would alleviate that tension and frustration that my husband feels, and then we won't argue.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a win-win-win-win-win situation. Mm-hmm. All the way around.
All right, anything else you want to add?
I can't think of anything other than I'd like to see the manuscript once
if you get
it typed out.
Oh, I'm
I'd like to keep a copy because that would be a great reminder.
Oh yeah.
To us, and we could read it once in a while and say,
that
"Yeah."
Be boosted.
And like my husband says, when you do secure your new job, don't forget what this was like. And you're going to want to take care of that job.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what cost, you are going to want to take care of that job and not let anybody take it away from you. Look the other way. Turn the other cheek. Turn a blind eye. Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of that job as if it was gold, because we don't want to be back here again.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, we have to keep going.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
I think that is it. And it was a total of 47 minutes, and I believe
it's supposed to be an hour.
Yeah, but that's perfect. It doesn't matter. And I just
And wanted, we didn't take a break.
And we didn't take a break, so we're awesome. Wanted to say thank you again very much. And hopefully I can get this A on this paper.
I know you will, because it's something close to you.
Yeah.
When something's, you know, near and dear to your heart, you put 100% effort into it.
I'm going to do it. And
like I said, I want to see it when it's all
written out. Oh, you guys are going to have one.
I'll frame it.
Frame it with the A on it already.
Exactly.
And the interview is going to be concluded in 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you.